Today gives us a little bit of taste of what 1 year from now will be. Because Pastor Jerry will be on sabbatical. And are we following Pastor Jerry? Or are we following Jesus? Because we are the body of Christ. And we are to follow Him. So the reason I brought up sabbatical is because almost exactly 1 year from today, on October 19th, we will be hosting the Five Love Language Conference with Dr. Gary Chapman here at FBC. And this is something that we're going to be opening up to all the community. And I'm giving you advance warning to save the date because we need volunteers. He said with a big grin. Because many hands make the burden. So we're not going to put it on just one person. It's going to be on all of us, working together and putting together the five love languages. So, you say, what does that have to do with Jesus? Well, a lot. Because the five love languages that Dr. Chapman talks about are gifts, quality time, words of affirmation, acts of service, and physical touch. Now, the first book really focuses on the relationship between a husband and wife, but he has gone on to write books for teens and for children, so that we can better communicate with them as well. So, where do you think he got the examples from? Right here. He didn't just pick them up out of the air. He got them from here. And who was the greatest example that he followed? Jesus. Now, if you think about it, here are just a few examples of how Jesus used these different languages. First, he gave the gift of healing to the blind man in John chapter 9. He gave the gift of quality time to his disciples in John chapter 3. He gave words of affirmation to the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4, verses 1 through 26. He served his disciples by washing their feet in Matthew 26, 14 through 39. And he wanted people to know that he was approachable by telling the disciples to let the children come to me so that he could hold them and bless them in Luke chapter 18. Now, if you've been listening or even watching the past sermons online, you will have heard that in the first three weeks, we were told not to follow a brand or denomination, but we are to follow Christ. Second, we are to know that we can't do this under our own power, but we need to listen to and live our lives in the power of the Holy Spirit who is at work in each and every one of us. And third, we are to be a people of prayer and in communication with our Heavenly Father so that He can reveal to us what His will is for our lives. We even heard Jesus' own words in John 6, 38 when He said, "For I have come down from heaven to do the will of God who sent me, not my own will." Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for the challenges that you've placed in front of us so far. And today I pray that these words that you've given me will not fall upon fallow ground. But God, that you've already been preparing people's hearts so as they come in, they'll be ready to receive this word so they can be planted and grow in their lives so that they can become more like your Son. For that is our goal, to be more like Jesus. Less of me and more of you. And we give you praise for this now in Jesus' name. Amen. In reading Mark chapter 1, verses 17 and 18, Jesus called out to them, "Come follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." This is from the New Living Translation. And they left their nets at once and followed him. Now, this is the calling of the first disciples. Now, if you go and look at one of the other Gospels, in Luke chapter 4, you will see that Jesus had been, after being tempted in the desert for the 40 days, he came back preaching and was having services and not very popular with people, even to the point where they tried to take him to the edge of town and push him off the cliff. But then he went to Simon Peter's house for a meal and healed his mother-in-law. I'm sure Simon Peter was very thankful for that because he loved his mother-in-law, as we all do. But it wasn't until Luke 5 that you see the calling of the disciples happening. So it wasn't just a random thing of, okay, I'll take you and you and you, follow me. These people had seen him in action. They had heard the message and knew his heart. And it says that they didn't hem and haul around going, well, I don't know. I got to do this and this, you know. It says that they were out there fishing. Their nets were in the water. It says, and immediately they left their nets at once and followed him. And then when they came up on shore to follow Jesus, he didn't say, okay, now here's the manual and here's the plan of what we're going to be doing over the next few years. Study this and you'll be fully prepared for what we're going to be doing. They didn't even have this. They were following Jesus in blind faith, truly trusting him. If you read John chapter, or 1 John 2, 5 and 6, it says, "But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. That is how we know we are living in him. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did." Now, this is written by John the Beloved, John the Disciple. John had walked with Jesus. He had followed Jesus and heard all of his teachings firsthand and knew what it meant to remain in his faith in Christ, even in tough times. If you do any study at all about the life of John, would you still be able to follow Jesus if you were boiled in oil? If you were beaten? If you were sent out to an isle to be all by yourself? You wouldn't even have Wilson there to comfort you. Just you. But John still followed Christ and love Jesus no matter what. And it wasn't just for John. It's for every disciple of Christ. For every follower is to walk as Jesus walked. And the one love language that stood out to me the most is found in John chapter 13. Verses 4 through 15. Let's all turn there. John chapter 13. John 13, verses 4 through 15. Give you a little background. He had sent Peter and John on ahead to prepare the Last Supper, that meal, that Passover meal together. So you know, I can relate a lot with Peter because of, you know, sometimes I talk before I think. But I want to make sure I'm a detailed person to make sure everything gets done. I want to make sure everything's perfect. But they forgot one thing. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, poured water into a basin, wrapped a towel around his waist and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel he had around him. When he came to Simon Peter, Peter said, "Lord, why are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus said, "You don't understand now why I'm doing it. Someday you will." "No," Peter protested, "you will never wash my feet." Jesus replied, "But if I don't wash you, you won't belong to me." Simon Peter exclaimed, "Then wash my hands and my head as well, Lord, not just my feet." Jesus replied, "A person who has bathed all over does not need to wash except for his feet to be entirely clean. And you are clean, but that isn't true of everyone here." For Jesus knew who would betray him. That is what he meant when he said, "Not all of you are clean." After washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, "Do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right because it's true. But since I, the Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you." Don't worry, I'm not bringing out basins of water and making you wash each other's feet. But I almost thought Colby was going to preach my message when he talked about us serving one another. Jesus put into action exactly what he had been teaching, showing, and living out in front of his disciples as this final exclamation point before he would give up his life on the cross. He had even given them a heads up about what was ahead of them, and when he taught the parable about the vineyard and the workers there. James and John's mother came to Jesus, and on a sidebar, you know, moms always want the best for their kids. So she thought, and so did the disciples, that Jesus was going to establish his kingdom here on earth by removing the Roman regime and taking over. And she wanted to make sure that her boys held good positions when Jesus did take over. But he set them straight really quickly. In Matthew 20, verses 25 through 28, it says, "But Jesus called them together and said, 'You know that the rulers of this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many.'" Even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. His kingdom is a kingdom of love. And he showed us how we are to live our lives. All too often we try to take over and do things on our own, only to mess them up. And we've had people that say one thing, but then do another. We've heard it said, actions speak louder than words. That the world will know that you care when you show that you care. Even what Colby talked about today, about leaving a legacy. You know, we want to make sure that our reputation is good. It's not my reputation, folks. It's Jesus' reputation. I'm his representation here. And I may be the only Jesus that some people see. So how much cleaning do we have to do to that mirror? This mirror, that we reflect Jesus in all that we do. All means all, and that's all means. Man, Ken, you're getting a little personal this morning, aren't you? Folks, even when Jesus was preaching strongly against the message of the Pharisees, and they were always around, standing right in the back, so trying to find out something they could cause trouble with, some error that he might have. And he would look at them and say, "Woe to you. Woe." Even though he called them snakes and white as sepulchers, he was still with a heart of compassion. Don't you understand? I love you. I want nothing but the best for you. And it's not just in word only, but it's also in what we do. John 13:35 says, "Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." But it can't be one without the other. It can't be word without deeds, and it can't be deeds without words. It's both and. It has to be in word and in deed. So everything we do, everything we say, has to be a reflection of him. Colossians chapter 3. Verses 12 through 17. 12 through 17 of chapter 3. "Since God chose you to be the holy people whom he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. You must make allowance for each other's faults and forgive the person who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. And the most important piece of clothing you must wear is love. Love is what binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are all called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the words of Christ, in all their richness, live in your hearts and make you wise. Use his words to teach and counsel each other. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, let it be as a representative of the Lord Jesus, all the while giving thanks through him to God the Father." We're all different. Not just in skin color or in gender, but even in our upbringing and our personalities. And I'm very thankful for that diversity. The body of Christ would be very boring if we were all the same. But the one thing that brings us together so that we can live in unity is the love of Jesus. God loved us so much that he sent his greatest gift, his Son to the world for each and every one of us. Even from the beginning of time, he desired to spend quality time with his creation. And so now he desires us to spend quality time with him in our prayer and Bible study. He uses the written words of the Bible and the Holy Spirit to speak words of affirmation into our lives. He asks us to be his hands and his feet, to carry out the acts of service, and to be the physical presence to give a hand up or a hug when someone needs it. We are not to be selfish in living our lives for what we want, but we are to surrender our lives to God and be selfless as we strive to be more like Jesus in our daily lives. My heart aches when I have a couple come into my office and they talk about divorce. And the first thing they said is, "He doesn't make me happy anymore." Or when you talk to someone on why they left being a part of this body of believers, "I wasn't being fed. And even people who have totally walked away from their faith because I wasn't getting what I wanted out of life. Are you hearing the common thread there? I keep getting in the way. If you think about it, when Jesus was in the garden and he was under such stress and duress that he was sweating drops of blood, as he was crying out to God to say, "Not my will, but yours be done." Wow. Because he could have called down the angels. Just say, "This is just too much. I don't want to go through this. I don't want to give up my life." But he gave his all. Somewhere we were talking this last week about how much we put into it. And they said, "Look at your breakfast." I thought, "What?" They said, "Okay, you're having bacon and eggs. What did it cost the chicken?" The chicken made a donation. What did it cost the pig? The pig was all in. It's the same way in our lives. Paul writes in Galatians 5:13-14, "For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself." Please understand, these are God's words for us today. If we say we are followers of Jesus, then we have to show it in everything that we do. There are many rich people who do good things. Oprah Winfrey with her, "You get a car and you get a car and you get a car." Ellen DeGeneres with her random picks of people just to give stuff to. But many times, it's not really truly costing them anything. They get the praise for it, but what did it cost them? They made a donation. We are called to put the skin in the game and to live life with one another while reaching out to a world that is lost and dying without hope. When they followed Jesus, they didn't know what the end held. They didn't know that it would cost them their lives. But he told them that's why they had to pick up their cross and follow him. I challenge you to go through the Book of Martyrs and see Fox's Book of Martyrs and read what happened to each one of the disciples. Every one of them, except for John, died a martyr's life. Next week we're going to be having the International Day of Prayer and talking about the voice of the martyrs. But that's still happening today, folks, around the world. Colby hit on it, that we have that freedom here. And sometimes we take that freedom for granted. But someone might be sitting in your neighborhood that is in need of some love service. You never know. But that's why we need to be praying and asking the Holy Spirit to speak to us each and every day, to give us an opportunity to be his hands and his feet to this world, so that they will see his light and love shining through us.